friends, and welcome to the CU Insight Network podcast. My name is Lauren Culp. I'm the publisher and CEO at CUinsight.com, and it's my job on this show to have conversations with the thought leaders who support the credit union community. We get to identify those issues that affect credit unions and have a discussion on all the best practices out there so that we can all learn from one another and improve our credit unions. I'm really excited about today's episode. My guest today is Matt Good. He's the Senior Vice President and Director of Regional Partnerships at Elan Credit Card. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Nice talking with you again.
Awesome. Well, I always kick off the show this way. Most of us did not grow up thinking that we would get to work with credit unions. Many of us didn't even know what they were until later on. I'm curious, though, what did you want to be growing up?
You know, that's a really great question. Thank you. And it's funny, growing up, no, I did not want to work. I never thought or dreamed of working in or with credit unions. But I do remember I grew up in the city of Detroit, and my dad is long ago retired now, but he was an educator. And I can remember on Saturday mornings, tagging along with him to the teacher's credit union where he would deposit his paychecks. And I would do it in the name of course, getting a donut and begging him to stop at a donut shop on the way home. but I do remember going into the credit unions and, you know, my 7 or 8 year old mind just being blown away by all the what I thought was high finance going on and by the way that everyone made my dad really feel important and me feel important. So I always had a warm spot for credit unions. But no, growing up, and I think your colleague Randy would appreciate this, as I know he's a native Detroiter, growing up in the 1980s in Detroit, I of course dreamed of being the next great second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. They had a great second baseman named Lou Whitaker, and I was sure when he retired, I'd be ready to take over for him. And then I realized pretty fast I had neither the hand-eye coordination nor athleticism to have a chance at that. So I thought, well, I better go to college route and probably in business or sales where I seem to have real interest.
I love that. That's amazing. Well, baseball and credit unions, I think donuts and credit unions, some good tie-ins here. What was the journey like to your current role as SVP and Director of Regional Partnerships then at Elan? So from potentially making a career out of baseball and then kind of switching gears there. What was the journey like for you?
Well, you know, it's funny because I half joke about wanting to play Major League Baseball, but actually the Detroit Tigers did play a big role in my, not only my childhood, but my high school and college years in helping me get a college education and where I am today. When I was a sophomore in high school, I wrote an impassioned letter to the Detroit Tigers with a resume my dad helped me put together. Cannot remember or imagine what I had on it at the age of 15, but I sent it to them saying, you need to hire me for something. It's very important that you do. And I actually got a call from the equipment manager of the Tigers who said, we'd love to meet you. And I went in and met with them and they hired me my junior year to be a what's called a clubhouse attendant or better known as a bat boy at spring training. So I had to get permission from my parents, from my school, to leave school for a month and go to Florida and work for the team. And at the end of the month, they said they'd like me to come back if I was interested in work full time during the season. So for the next 4 summers, I actually worked for the Detroit Tigers as a bat boy. And that was basically, I was basically a servant. I learned the idea of serving really through that job. You know, I did everything from cleaning their shoes, the uniforms, to picking up the locker room, to you had to be 16 and have a driver's license because I'd run errands for them. I'd pick up their wives at the airport. I'd go and cut their grass. You name it, I did it. But it was an amazing experience in a couple of regards. One is, I got to spend time with people who are the best at their craft and get to watch how they prepare every day, how they take their business seriously. They treated me like a little brother. So I got a lot of great advice and had a lot of great experiences. But they also financially helped me quite a bit in those years. And they really helped pay my way through the University of Michigan. So I went on to college and at University of Michigan. And between my junior and senior years, I knew I wanted to get into something business related. So I actually applied for and got an internship with, it was actually a community bank named Star Bank in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I spent the summer there. And they had a number of projects they had me working on. But what I found I loved the most, and they finally just had me start doing this full time, is just reaching out to some of their customers. I remember they had a new checking account suite at that time. and they wanted to convert as many of their high worth customers over to these products. So I just started calling them all day long, selling them on the value of it. And I loved it. I loved interacting with the people. I loved learning about how the bank worked. And at the end of the summer, they invited me to come back after I graduated and be in their management training program. So over the course of the next 6 or 7 years, I was in branch management. And then I wanted to move into the payments business. And I did that. And again, I'm really dating myself, Lauren, but I did this 1995, became a merchant sales rep for them, calling on small businesses. And did that for a number of years. And then long story, a little shorter, I joined Elan in 1999. So 23 years ago now, as a salesperson calling on credit unions in Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana. And over that 23 years calling on credit unions, I've served a number of different roles. I've been in sales, account management, and a number of different leadership roles, including the one now where I manage a team of salespeople calling on credit unions all around the country. So that's how I got here today.
Wow. Well, that is an amazing career. And I love to hear the different steps along the way that brought you there. And so for Elan specifically, what is that elevator pitch that you give folks about what Elan Credit Card does and where you really add value for credit unions?
Yeah. So, being in the payments business since 1995, as you can imagine, Lauren, there have been so many changes in the business. And in fact, I would even say there have been more changes in the last 3 to 5 years than in the previous 20 in terms of what's going on. And in particular, we've seen the use of credit cards, both by consumer members and by small business members, just dramatically increase. And the importance of credit cards become dramatically more important for our members. With the world becoming so much more digital, everything from the big major transactions that you do to the everyday purchases are being done not only in person, but through websites, mobile apps, digital wallets, text to pay. It's becoming more and more challenging for credit unions to really stay up with this and be able to continue to invest in the technology to give the payment solutions to their members that they need. And at the same time, the risk of managing a credit card program is dramatically increasing. So with all that in mind, what Elan does is Elan partners with a credit union and together offer a program that will provide industry-leading credit card solutions to their members. And we do it in a way that removes all credit risk, compliance risk, and expense from the program, and it removes all need to invest in the technology and the products and the rewards. And we take on all of that, and using the brand name of the credit union, are able to offer a successful solution to their members. The credit union then earns great risk-free income going forward, and it's really a win-win both for the credit union as well as for their members. And we offer for their consumers, of course, consumer credit cards. We also offer mortgage services. And then for those credit unions who work with businesses, we offer small business credit cards, mid and large market commercial cards, as well as merchant services through our partner Elavon for business members who need to accept credit cards.
Wow. That is amazing. There's so many different things that you offer for credit unions. And you mentioned this, but those payment industry pieces, the options and payments, everything is evolving so quickly right now. I think you said, faster in the last couple of years than ever before. And I know for some of the small businesses that credit unions serve, this can really present some added challenges. And so I'm curious, can you share more from the small business side? What are those challenges? And do you think that there are ways that credit unions can really be good partners with those small businesses? I know credit unions historically have done such a good job serving the consumer, but are, moving further and further into the small business world. So what do you think what those challenges are, and where can credit unions really partner with them?
You're absolutely right. And, I think that I've talked to you this before, Lauren, as we look at our country today, there's probably not a lot we all agree on, but I think we all agree that there are certain folks in our country who are heroes, right? I think we all agree the military, first line responders, school teachers. And I would include small businesses in that group of heroes. I mean, they work so hard. They put everything on the line day in, day out, and to keep their doors open. By doing so, be able to just employ millions and millions of us day in and day out. And they really, when you look at this, they have so many challenges on them today. In particular, in the last couple of years, so many small businesses have had to dramatically change the way they do business just to keep their doors open.
Right.
Nowhere is this more true than when it comes to accepting payments. you know, go back 3 years ago, and the vast majority of small businesses, they would probably accept your payment in person at a cash register, maybe through a website, through sending an invoice in some cases. Now, in addition to all of that, they have to be able to accept it through a mobile app, through a digital wallet, through a website, through order to delivery. They basically need to meet the member and the consumer where they are and where they want to be able to pay. And this puts so much more pressure on the small businesses. And the small businesses are looking to their financial institution and their credit union for help with this. They would greatly prefer, and we've seen this in studies, go to their credit union for help. Some of the pressures on small businesses today, any study you take a look at, you'll see cash flow, of course, is top of the list. Mm-hmm. But another big concern for small businesses is just time management. You know, you think about your typical small business owner, and I'm sure you can relate to this. In the course of a day, a small business owner serves as their own CEO, CFO, chief technology officer, head of operations, and usually their best salesperson.
Yep.
And so they don't really have time to go shop around and take their financial services to multiple credit unions and banks. And Forbes recently did a study and found that 9 out of 10 small business owners would greatly prefer to have all their financial services with one financial institution. So that's a great opportunity for credit unions to be able to help make the lives of their small business members easier. I mean, who do you trust more than a credit union? And small businesses understand this. I would say with the payments business, though, when a credit union looks, for example, at adding merchant services to their product suite, one thing to keep in mind is it's really gone past just the ability to accept credit cards in this day and age. Mm-hmm. Small businesses are looking to their credit union to not only be able to handle payments, but be able to make their operations more streamlined. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Elan has, through our partner Elavon, a solution called Talech. And I know our peers in the industry, many of them have similar solutions, but we're really proud of this product. It's a tablet-based, cloud-based payment acceptance tool that small businesses can have that's very affordable. So basically, on their iPad or tablet, they'll be able to accept payments wherever the consumer wants to make the payment, whether it be in person, through their website, through a mobile app, digital wallet, they can do it. But it goes past that to being able to really do things like manage their inventory. So there's an aspect of it where you can program it so that if your inventory is getting low, it'll automatically order additional inventory for you. To, if you're a restaurant, being able to assign tables to customers, to being able to send orders into the kitchen, to manage your employees' payroll hours. There's also the ability to have an easy-to-build loyalty program through Talech. So, for example, if you go to your favorite local coffee shop, and let's say it's your 10th time there during the month, you know, it'll come up on Talech and say, this is Lauren's 10th time here at the shop this month. Great, Lauren, you're getting a free cup of coffee today on us. Wow. Or you get a discount. So it provides all of this to a small business at an affordable price. And really what it does is it not only helps them accept credit cards, but it helps streamline their operations, reduce their expenses, and increase their revenue. So that's what small businesses are looking for. And they'd really like to do this with their credit union because they trust you. And that's why they want to come to the credit union for this type of service.
That's amazing. And I think to your point, there are so many different use cases for the small businesses that credit unions are working with. And it's so cool to see the things that the products can do. And I know you all wrote a white paper recently on some of these topics. Are there any big insights from that white paper that you can share with folks today?
Yeah, thank you. So we did do a white paper recently taking a look at best practices for a credit union when it comes to selecting a potential merchant services partner. Because we know that there are so many credit unions out there work with small businesses today, but many are looking at, do we want to start doing that? Do we want to start reaching out to small businesses? And an important part of that product suite is merchant services and being able to help your business member accept credit cards. So there are a number of things we looked at. We looked at it in terms of, is it important to your business member? Well, yes, it is. You know, as we just talked about, to be able to thrive in this world, you have to be able to accept card payments, particularly in this digital world. We also looked at it in terms of, is it important to the credit union to offer this service and what benefits can they get from it, in addition to just strengthening that relationship with the member and being the one-time shop. we found it really makes having a successful merchant services program can really grow things like your deposits, your loans, your revenue. In fact, we took a look at our base of business within Elavon and found that of the hundreds of financial institutions we work with nationwide, that when they start offering merchant services versus when you work with a business member, we compared and contrasted between that business member just has a checking account with the credit union versus having a checking account in merchant services. We found when they add merchant services, loans go up by an average of 80%, deposits by 85%, and overall revenue by 80%. So it not only strengthens that relationship, but it's really very, very beneficial for the credit union as well. And then we also looked at, so what are some best practices and some things that credit unions should look at when they're considering a potential merchant services partner? And, you know, some of the things, and you can certainly get a lot more detail on this in the paper, but some of the things that we definitely recommend you look at, you always want to look at, does the partner have the technology capabilities that you need? Are they continuing to invest? That's kind of a given. Also, what type of models do they offer to you as a credit union? Do you want to, the most common is a referral program where you would simply refer a business member to your merchant services partner and a sales rep would handle the process and the sale for you. Or you can be more hands-on, handle the sales yourself, have more say in pricing, things like that. But I would say, without a doubt, probably the most important thing for a credit union to consider when they're looking at a merchant services partner is, does the merchant services partner match your culture? You're going to have to rely on, no matter what model you go with, you have to trust that the employees of the partner, when they get in front of your business members, some of your most important members, that they're going to represent you well. And so you want to ask the question, would I be just as proud and comfortable to have their employees in front of our members as my own? And if the answer is no, or I'm not sure, that's probably not the partner for you. That is where I've seen the most the best relationships between credit unions and merchant partners, and some of the ones, unfortunately, that don't work well. So those are some of the things that the paper covers.
I love all of that. And we'll link to the white paper here. So anybody who is listening and wants to read more, they'll be linked in the show notes. So you can check them out there. And I want to switch gears for a minute here. There's so much great information you've shared around some of the merchant services and things like that that Elan can help credit unions with. I know you personally and Elan are really passionate about making impact in communities too. And I think this aligns so well with what credit unions are really created to do. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit with our listeners about how Elan really works to play a role in helping communities thrive through these partnerships that you have with credit unions around the country.
So community involvement is very important to us at Elan. And it's honestly, Lauren, one of, if not the main reasons I've stayed with Elan for well over 20 years. It's very important to me personally, as I know it is with my colleagues and the credit unions as well. And in fact, you know, for years, we've been given two volunteer days per year that are paid where we can go and give back to the community in whichever way we see fit. And we definitely do that and love doing that. And I think it's one of the reasons that our partnerships with credit, you know, with over 300 credit unions nationwide has continued to grow over the years, is because we do share that mindset and community spirit that credit unions have. And we've been trying to think of a way over the years to really reach all of our neighborhoods and our communities in an impactful way. And it occurred to us in the last year or two, why not partner up with our credit union partners who are out in the neighborhoods, in the communities today, and together do some great things in the communities. So this past year, we introduced what's called the Elan Across the Country Charitable Giving Program, where we randomly chose 50 of our current credit union partners and approached each of them and said, we'd like to donate $12,500 to a non-for-profit of your choosing in the name of your credit union in Elan. And so, of course, we are very thrilled that they all accepted, and great work has been done. That was and we've ended up donating over $700,000 this past year to that. And then we wanted to be more hands-on, so we've actually held a handful of in-person volunteer events together with credit unions, where we work with the non-for-profit and do things like I think we had an event yesterday with a credit union where we went out and we helped paint a homeless shelter, and we've done and done some other great volunteer events throughout the country this year as well. And today, as you know, we're recording this on Thursday, October 20th. And Lauren, you know, as well as I do, this is International Credit Union Day.
Yep.
We actually announced today that there's five additional credit unions where we're donating $15,000 to a non-for-profit of their choosing as a way of saying thank you to the credit unions for all the great work they've done over the last 100 years or so. So yeah, this is very important to us, and it's a lot of fun, and we're very excited about working hand in hand with credit unions to give back.
That's amazing. And such a cool day to make an announcement like that. International Credit Union Day is so important, and it's so cool to see all of the impact in our communities. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I'm curious too, I know Alon did a survey that was talking about the connection between some of these charitable giving efforts and community impact programs and the places that consumers choose to do business. And I know obviously having that impact in our communities, charitable giving in general, so many reasons to do it, even apart from sort of the business case. Mm-hmm. But there is a business case too. And so can you talk about the results that you've seen through that survey?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So the study focuses on, it doesn't focus on, is community involvement important to the credit union? Because we all assume it is. That's why we work in the industry. That's why folks are working for credit unions. But we took it a step deeper and looked at how important is it to your member? Like, do they care? Do they care that ABC Credit Union is giving to a homeless shelter or giving back in different ways to their neighborhoods and communities? And what we found was fascinating. And the answer is a resounding yes, it is very important. In fact, almost half of the members, 48% that were surveyed said, yes, they would like to see their credit union make donations to community and charity groups. They said it's very important to them. But going back to your question about does it make an impact on business, we found that even more importantly, 3 out of 10 members, 30% said they would actually switch financial institutions if they felt that their current credit union wasn't donating enough to local communities and another one in town was. So it's a wow. That's a big number, and that can really impact your business. And for those going even further with this, what we and this probably is, won't be surprising to most of us, but found that the younger generations find this to be even more important, particularly Bridge Millennials and Gen Z. We've done some studies on Gen Z in the past couple of years. And in this, you know, we found that very important to them are issues of social justice, social interaction, community involvement. These are very important to them. And we found that 43%, so again, almost half of Gen Z and Bridge Millennial members said they would move their banking relationships and their financial services relationships to another credit union if they felt that there was one that gave back more.
Wow.
So this is, I think, actually really positive news for credit unions because they're already giving so much back to their neighborhoods and communities that it gives them a great opportunity to be able to win even more business. And I think the big thing that we're finding is that it really comes down to making sure that the credit unions are promoting what they're doing, making their members aware, using all your different channels, both in your offices, through social media, through your website, and finding ways to involve your members. If you have a volunteer day, can you invite your members to join you and continuing to team up with those non-for-profits and making sure your communities know about it is very important.
Right. Wow. Well, that is such good news for credit unions and so many cool insights that you've shared. And as we look to the future, you know, I know the economy is on everyone's mind right now, but what are some of the new trends that you're really seeing emerging in financial services? And what is Alon's big focus for the road ahead?
Yeah, so I think some of the trends, you know, I'm definitely not an economist, Lauren, but there's without a doubt, but there are some clear trends that we're keeping an eye on when it comes to credit cards and payments. And I'm sure most credit unions are or should be, you know, forming plans to be able to be ready for this. I think obviously the rate environment with rates going up so dramatically, there's so many credit unions out there today that have fixed rate, low rate credit card solutions they're offering to their members. You know, just forming a plan to make sure that your margin isn't too compressed on that. And we certainly be happy to talk with credit unions about strategies around that. Continuing to keep an eye on credit risk. You know, with the inflation where it is today, with spend going up, with the threat of recessions coming, you know, definitely keeping an eye on the losses. And then also just continuing to invest in technology. As you talked about, digital the digital aspect of this business is becoming more and more important. Alana's invested over $100 million in the last year just on digital integration. And so we'd be happy to talk with credit unions about that and how we can help you with that. And just really looking at what are the best ways to invest the assets that you have with credit cards today. Is it continuing to invest it in credit cards, or is it to invest it somewhere else? I mean, reinvestment rates right now are really high. And so having a good strategy is important to do. And again, Alon's happy to meet with anybody to talk about this and share ideas.
Wonderful. We'll link to contact information for you and your team. So anybody who is interested in getting in touch and chatting further can do that. And great points. I think none of us have a crystal ball for the future, but definitely some big trends to keep an eye on. And as we wrap up this show, and Matt, I feel like we could kind of talk all day about credit unions and community impact and all of this. But as we wrap up the show, I'd like to have some fun with rapid fire questions to let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. And the questions are rapid, but your answers don't have to be, is what we say. So if you're ready, we can switch gears here, dive right into the last section.
All right. I am ready.
All right. What's that recent purchase that you didn't know you needed that has become something you just can't live without?
A good pair of running shoes. When I was much younger, I was a runner and I got away from it. And a few years ago, I took it up again. It's a great way for me to exercise and blow off steam. I don't like to spend a lot of money on myself, so I was delaying buying shoes. And one day my back started hurting me, my legs were hurting me, and a good friend of mine here at Elan, who's a good runner, said, "I think you need a new pair of shoes, Matt." I bought them, and within a week, I was feeling great. So anyone out there who's an amateur runner like me, I'm telling you, the shoes cannot be overstated, the importance of them.
I love that. What brand do you go with?
I have Brooks. Okay. So Brooks Adrenaline. Yeah.
I hear that from a lot of my running friends. You will not catch me running too far. But I love that. When you hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind for you and why?
That's a great question. I'm going to go back to my baseball days, if I can. Mm-hmm. That would be Sparky Anderson. And for those of you who are longtime baseball fans and are of my age, I'm sure you remember him. He was a manager for the Detroit Tigers, for the Cincinnati Reds. He's now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He passed away about 15 years ago, but he was a dear friend of mine. He was a mentor to me. Talk with him every night after games. And he was amazing. Like, he was at the top of his craft and industry. It was not unusual for him to take a call, I'm not kidding, from the President of the United States or from heads of industry or government or entertainment. But Lauren, he would talk to everybody with the same respect. If he was talking to the President of the United States or somebody sweeping the street, the sidewalk, he would stop, have a conversation with you, look you in the eye, and treat you like you're the most important person in his life at that point in time. And, you know, I asked him about that one day. I'm finally like, "Man, you talk to everybody. You don't have time." And he was like, "I make the time, Matthew." He said, "You got to keep in mind that every person you meet with has or had at one time a mom, a dad. They've got family. To somebody, they're the most important person in their life." Mm-hmm. And you have to treat them with that respect. And that has always stuck with me. And I do my best to try to live up to that. It's hard, but to live up to his standard, but I try.
So. Wow. Well, what an amazing piece of advice. That's such a cool experience. Definitely something we can all take with us. All right. My random question for you is, what are you listening to most right now? Is it music? Is it podcasts? Is it audiobooks? What are you listening to?
I've started listening to podcasts as I started running again. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast, Lauren, but I do listen to the UC Insight podcast. It helps me keep up with the industry and what's going on. And but there are a couple of others I listen to also. I really like This American Life on NPR. Really enjoy that one. They'll have some really funny ones that make me laugh out loud when I'm running. Other ones that really make me think. Enjoy that. And then there's a podcast that's actually the pastor of my church has called The Aggressive Life, which isn't a religious one, but it's just, he interviews leaders in industry and business and government, entertainment, just about examples of taking risk in your life that help you get ahead. And that's been really interesting to listen to.
That is so cool. Well, we'll link to those here in the show notes as well for folks. Any books that you have gifted or you just think everyone should read?
I'm reading one right now which I'm sure a lot of readers have listened to, but if you haven't, I definitely recommend it. It's by Cheryl Backhelder, who is the CEO of Popeye's Chicken, and it's called Dare to Serve. And it's talking about how, you know, she really led the turnaround of Popeye's Chicken about 10 or 15 years ago. And it really started with her understanding that she needed to take a servant leadership approach to her staff, to her franchisees, to the employees, and really make them a part of the team. And you can't argue with her results. And it's something that I'm really enjoying reading. In fact, I already told a colleague of mine who I'm going to see next week, I'm going to give it to her. So that's been a great book for me to read.
I love that. All right. I don't have that one on my list, but I will have to add it here. Matt, let's say the calendar is empty. What are you doing to unwind outside of work?
I'm married 20 years to a wonderful woman named Lisa, and I try to spend time with her. And we have two daughters, Lucy, who's 14, and Betty, who's 12. And it's never a dull moment in our house, Lauren, without a doubt. my oldest is turning 15 in a month, and a friend of mine reminded me, Matt, she's a year away from driving, and I just put my head down on that one. So I try to spend as much time with them as I can, and I also love reading, and again, try to get out running to try to blow off a little steam and get outdoors. So
I love that. Awesome. Well, we are going to link to, just like I said, everything we talked about today in the show notes. But Matt, my last question for you is, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share or final asks of our listeners today?
Well, you know, I will say this. It is International Credit Union Day. And I've been reminded in the last couple of months, I had the opportunity to go to a couple of credit union events that just reminded me of why I love being in this business and love working with credit unions day in and day out. I actually went to we were at the African American Credit Union Coalition conference back at the end of August and was just blown away by the credit union leaders who came in from all over the country who are so committed to increasing diversity and leadership of credit unions and just hearing their stories about what they do in their communities. And so that was very inspiring to me. And then about 6 weeks ago, a colleague of mine and I joined or were honored to be able to join the Ohio Credit Union League as they did their Hike the Hill event in DC. And I know leagues and states do this all over the country, but I was just, again, so impressed by the true passion and that these credit union leaders had, not only for their employees, for their credit unions, for their members, but for their communities, and how they really are standing up for their membership base and for the neighborhoods they represent day in, day out. And so I just say thank you for the credit union leaders and employees out there who are listening and for all you do. The people helping people mantra is for real, and you're making a difference. So thank you.
Well, what a perfect way to wrap up today. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show. So much great insight and inspiration for folks as we, especially to your point, recording today on International Credit Union Day. It's a really exciting time to be a part of the industry. So I hope you stay well. Thank you to all of our listeners today for tuning into the CU Insight Network podcast, and we will be back again next time.